fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington. And we finished the 20th floor of the Mad. And apparently there's some things we've got to do first before we can go any deeper. So we'll be taking a little break from that while we do some things and maybe do some other things as well. Anyway, we've gone to the Goblin Claw Inn. Now we've been there before. For example, in part 6 of the Seven Goblin Saga, when we first turned up, and many other places, and probably a few other times as well. Anyway, we're entering the inn. I'm not going to. What the heck, I'll read the description. At the end of a short, steeply pitched path just off the main road that winds through South Todd Glen stands the notorious Goblin Claw Inn. Under the ownership of Grootsmall and his wife Glonenia, the inn has fallen into an advanced state of disrepair, and upon first appearance appears to be little more than a squalid eyesore. The din of the establishment's motley and largely unruly patronage sails out of a pair of crooked windows on either side of the inn's heavy door. Beneath the windows and either side of the door sit several figures, each of them slumped over. You've little doubt they have fallen victim to the claws, legendarily harsh batch of brew. The unpleasant odour emanating from the Wormshackle stable, not far to the White of Inn, is almost unbearable. But what happens in the stable? Investigate the stables. You step into the stables and are immediately confronted by an overpowering and unmistakable stench of animal refuse. The odour is nearly strong enough to make you wet. Maybe someone should do something about that, you know, clean up the refuse, you know, before the horses get sick, because people need horses for many things, because this is a medievalish kingdom, even though there's all this magic, but when there's not magic, it's pretty much all medieval. Probably later medieval, because there were galleons, but still pretty medieval, because that's the default setting for any fantasy, just is, because Tolkien mainly. Explore the stables. You reach the back of the stables and promptly turn and make your way out of the ramshackle structure. With your eyes watering, you stumble out into the fresh air. Alright, let's enter the inn. The interior of the Goblin Claw Inn is a much disrepair of the notorious establishment's ramshackle exterior. Despite the squalid nature of the inn's common room, it is crowded with patrons clamouring for food, drink, and the attention of a half dozen servants that are scurrying about. A blazing fire at the edge of the end of the long room casts its flickering orange light over everything within. Its warm, soothing glow almost makes you oblivious to the walker's din and unpleasant odours that continuously assail your senses. The two crossed swords hang on the wall above the fireplace mantel. Behind the swords hangs the ornate shield you retrieve from the vermin-infested cellar of the inn. And that was in a previous episode, I forget which, but keep looking, you'll find it. Oh wait, there's a observation link under the word mantle. The top of the mantle is cluttered with a disparate assortment of items, including several empty tankards. Makes sense, got to keep them handy, just in case you need to fill them up. Alright, adventures recently here are me and three other guys. Seek out Grutsmill. You find Grutsmill on the far side of the inn's common room, working to sweep a large pile of dirt out of the back door. "Right proud piece that shield is," he says, turning to gaze at your ornate piece now hanging over the fireplace mantel. "I can't thank you enough for finding it, and for ridding the cellar of all those crawlers. I think I'll keep those doors up down there, though. One can never be sure, after all." Grutsmill goes back to work and does his best to ignore. Okay, now to the common room. You sit at the table in the fireplace, basking in the flickering glow of the warring blaze as your eyes wander the common room crowd. A servant moves past and places a frothing flagon of bitter house ale in front of you. Compliments of Grutsmill. You spot Feinbach seated alone at a table not far from the crackling fire. Okay, Thrimback. Here's who we've been told to seek out. Who is Thrimback? There's a link. Thrimback, considered by many to be the most famous and accomplished adventurer of the current age, the mighty and self-righteous Thrimback boasts a long and illustrious list of deeds. While it hasn't been substantiated, there has long been a rumour floating about that Thrimback was considered for Thrainback by King Renwald upon the death of Thane Tizak, but was passed over in favour of the man now known to all as Thane Porrand. How would things be different if he was the Thane instead? I guess we'll never know. Of late, Thrimback has become a somewhat common fixture at the Goblin Claw Inn. Now let's approach Thrimback. Perhaps he knows something about these dreadstones? And something about Wackner's man, perhaps? Thrimback looks up as you near his table and smiles. Though you sense his seemingly friendly grin is a calculated gesture, rather than a genuine reaction to your approach. "Here's my capable apprentice," he announces with a laugh. "I'm tossing out jest, Sir Croakingham. Come, have a seat, and I'll fetch us some ale." So I can refuse the offer, but I've got to talk to him about something. Accept the offer and sit at his table. Thrimback asks you about your recent adventures and tells you he's putting together a grand scheme that he hopes to invite you to participate in. Okay, third time's a charm. "Just you wait, Sir Croakington," he says, thoughtfully stroking his unshaven chin. "This one will prove to be the greatest adventure of them all. I just need some time to put the pieces of it together." Thrimback eventually gets round to asking if you've managed to acquire any new and interesting items in your travels. "Alright, let's have a look at my items." Thrimback rubs his hands together. The microphone keeps falling down. I'm doing it wrong somehow. What I'm doing wrong, I'm not sure, but I'm doing it wrong. Rubs his hands together and his eyes widen as he carefully looks over the items currently in your possession. "A dreadstone!" Thrimback grimaces and quickly casts his gaze about the comp room, as if he suddenly regrets speaking the name aloud. "Where do you find this one?" "I'll be willing to make you quite an offer for all three. There are three of them, you know." You offer to let Thrimback take a closer look at the stone, but he's quick to refuse. "I prefer not to spend an inordinate amount of time with things of that nature," he says, glancing warily at the stone. "Well, considering what happened to the goblins, to the goblins that were just near the first redstone, that makes a lot of sense. They were just completely emancipated and suffering some serious mind control. It would be I would be interested in the whole trio, though. Let me know if you come across any more of them. Thunbach pauses for a moment, and there's something that piques your interest. You know, Sir Hockington, the next time we meet here, I might just have something for you. Bit of information. Just perhaps. Let's take a look at Thunbach's items. Thunbach is happy to let you have a look at some of the items he's carrying. Here are some of the renowned adventurer's current possessions. Now you can look at them, obviously there's no way in the game to get them. Because obviously they're his. And he needs them for his various heroisms. One of them is the Blade of Balance. It's got a melee rating of 40. How does that compare to the Spruce Smasher? It's better than the Spruce Smasher. Now that was a weapon more powerful than the default weapons again. It's got a melee rating of 40. 5 stamina points, 3 spirit. It's obviously magical as an unknown power, but I assume it is a very powerful power with great power. Competence of 4, as you'd suspect, it's a slashing weapon. Requires 70 weaponry slashing, 15 spirit, 20 agility, 20 might, 20 body. That doesn't matter because, well, we're not going to equip it. Because it's Thunbach's. This legendary sword is currently owned and wielded with an extraordinary degree of skill by the renowned adventurer Thunbach. This weapon is of magical quality. It's the thrice enchanted chain shirt that provides 10 melee rating and 24 stamina points. How does that compare to what I currently have? The egg studded vest. The one I currently have is better. Because the egg studded vest, which was from the Easter event last year, I think. Or maybe a year before. Definitely some sort of Easter event. It provides 12 melee rating, 24 stamina points, and 4 never reserve. It's crazy powerful. Anyway, Frost Enchanted Chain Shirt. Also, 1 spirit and some requirements. 3 powerful enchantments were long ago bestowed upon this magnificent chain shirt. It's believed the wearer of this piece of armor is immune to the effects of dragon breath and all magical fire. Now, that thing is, I don't think the game really has a system in place for that to really work. Because I don't think any of the attacks that are against you have, you know, codes in to say what type of attack they are. So you can have other codes that say, is the damage increased, is it decreased, do you have a certain evasion rating? I mean, you could probably make it work once or twice off for very specific things, very specific special attacks of a particular boss, or avoid attacks outside of battle, but as a general scheme, don't think the game doesn't really have a system in place to say these, but to divide attacks into types and certain types of equipment nullify them. Probably because then, honestly, yeah, it'd be a bloody pain because you'll be constantly re-equipping every time you encounter a foe. It's like, oh, it's that one that attacks with that. Currently, to play absolutely 100% optimally, that means I have to rejig every one of my pieces of equipment. And, yeah, I mean, but for some games that makes sense. well, is a thing they're going for, where apparently getting the right equipment together is part of your strategy. But yeah, it's not been a big thing in Swift. I mean, okay, you equip the demon scourge to fighting demons, but that's about it. I mean, there are a few other package items of special effects, but generally there's no full sets of equipment that to get to a fight against specific attacks, specific types of enemies, and so on. Because attacks don't really, there's no element system in this. Because usually well, it looks like it gives you choice. What it really does is it means in every, that there's an optimal equipment for almost every situation, which means the choice is, do you bother to go through, or is it worth it to spend several minutes each fight fiddling around with the equipment to fight optionally, or isn't it? And honestly, well, honestly, since Swift is a game that never really goes for, ooh, super hardcore challenge, it probably wouldn't be. But some people will probably do it anyway, and then complain about the thing that they chose entirely to do of their own volition. Okay, next up is the Watting King's Braces. This is 10 melee rating, 16 stamina points. I'm pretty sure, how is that? That compares to, what do I currently have? It's just the Dragon Gen, which are 613, so 6 melee rating, 13 stamina points, so okay. In this one, his stuff is once again better than mine. Although perhaps I will find something to match it. Or perhaps not. I am being deliberately ignorant for the purposes of narrative. And also, who knows what could turn up in special events. Or when we finally go to Arkandar and Zathmor. Yeah, there's definitely going to be lots of cool equipment to find there. Anyway, this pair of enchanted bone bracers were taken off the decimated corpse of a wicked undead lord known as the Watting King, who I can only assume was slain by Thrimback, probably at the end of a really awesome adventure that I'd probably like to hear him tell us about. And maybe we could even take part in a recreation of it using the Oakenstone Mask. Or maybe in the Tome of Attainment. Or not. I mean, it's an option. It's not demanded. It's just something you could do. I mean, if Swift had the amount of fans it should have, someone would have probably already wrote fan fiction about it. You know, like the big finish Doctor Who audio dramas, which fill in every possible gap. Because the Doctor, you know, he's going off across time and space having fun new adventures rather than spending all his time, you know, filling in the little teeny gaps of story. Because he could go anywhere in time and space. He doesn't have to do that. He could go anywhere. And of course, the story and what we see is only a teeny fraction of all the adventures that the Doctor has actually had, because he's a thousand years of adventures, so obviously we can't show them all in a TV series that's only been running for 60 years. I'm afraid that's all I have to show you at the moment, he says. The rest of it is locked up safe in my... Well, it's safe. Continue conversing with Thrimback. Thrimback goes into a lengthy account of one of his more recent adventures. and while you're certain he's embellished one or two small points, you've no reason to doubt that his rather fantastic tale of heroism is true, and I possibly one-up him with my own adventures. You know, there's that time I defeated that giant earth elemental a bit back. Yes, or came in contact with her. All that adventure in Kildra's tomb. Lots of fun adventures for me to tell him. Just listen to the rest of the podcast. There's lots of things he could do. I mean, most of them are fun adventures. There's the ones where I'm reading out the lore book. I mean, they're not fun adventures. But they're definitely fun to read, but they're not adventures. They're not things that Sir Croakington or any of the other heroes I've played would tell to them back. But most of them are. Alright, let's look at my items again. Thunbach rubs his hands together and his eyes widen as he carefully looks over the items currently in possession. Where did you find this beauty? Thunbach stares in awe at the demon scourge. This is a truly remarkable sort of thing, isn't it? A real basher, this one. I don't suppose you're showing the foul ones any mercy with this, Sir Croakus? No, I am not. I mean, that's what that whole 40-plus extra versus demons is all about. Smashing demons and, most importantly, Woundskin. Although, with the Spruce Smasher offering 35 damage, it's not quite as effective, and at no point have I ever encountered a scale demon. At least I don't think so. There might be one hiding somewhere, but there's no say replayable where you constantly find demons. Where'd you find this beauty? From backstairs and all the green. So this is a truly remarkable sort of thing, is it? A real basher, this one. I already said that. Thunbach is struck with the demon scourge, he immediately makes you an offering for it. I'll give you 20,000 gold for it, he says, hardly able to take his eyes off this weapon. What do you say? 20,000 gold for it now? Admittedly, gold is something that is infinitely farmable in this game, like in most RPGs that don't. Most RPGs that don't just not have any possibility of repeating things at all, and thus, well, okay. Maybe the ones I can think of are the earlier Fire Emblems, where usually you do an adventure, but then that's hard, so you don't get all the experience you need, which makes the next one even harder, so you get even less experience, makes the next one even harder, so some of you guys start dying, and then you get even less experience, and then you get about 2/3 of the way forward, and you're stuck. Because, well, and you can't get unstuck, because so many of your people are dead by now, and you can't even grind. And if you die, you die. But they fix that in the later versions where they don't have permadeath, because it's just really annoying. I mean, occasionally you can base an entire game off permadeath, but even then, I'd just rather, you know, do the next adventure and, you know, make the stuff good rather than relying on me constantly dying to kind of obscure the fact there isn't actually that much to do. And sometimes you don't even have that problem, they just put it in for no reason. Mainly thinking of Sunless Sea in this case, where Fall of London. This is a game where death doesn't stick. You cannot die. I mean, yep, you can die, but if you do, you just hang around on the shores of the Wither Styx for a bit, play some dice, play some chess with the boatman, and then you pop back, right back. No problem. And then inexplicably, oh, except at the sea. Except at the sea, where you can stay dead if you go to the sea. And then you go to the sea, and even when you're not at sea, if you die, you stay dead. Even though the laws of the universe are kind of like a bit meh here, because the sun can't see you. Anyway, yeah, I really don't know why. Don't know why they put that rogue-like element in there. Honestly, I did do the get to the end without dying thing, but it was just a pain. And then, honestly, once I started ignoring that, I had a lot more fun. Because, you know, when you don't have to worry about, and then you die, and you probably just, you know, rely on the space marines, you can go, oh, I'll see what happens in this with the, if you just take this incredibly stupid idea. You can say, oh, alright. Yeah, you die, and it's horrible, but in a particularly interesting way, and okay, load the previous save. Okay, so anyway, gold, you can just get gold. I mean, 20,000 gold, that's what, 4 Axpath runs? Yeah, I'm not selling off a unique weapon, which is, okay, admittedly, Tiara's staff is also super effective against demons, so it's not the only thing that can fight against demons. But the thing is, the bonus is so high with the Demon Scourge. It's not just it actually helps against, it actually helps against regular opponents if they happen to be demons. Also, it's cool. Politely refuses offer. Very shrewd, he says, grinning, as he shifts his gaze from you to the Demon Scourge, and then back to you in rapid succession. All right, then. I'll make it 25,000 gold and 8 adventure tokens. I'm afraid it's the most I can spare at this moment. Well, what do you got to say for your end? Now this is tempting. So, you're getting gold, but, I mean, the gold's, meh. I mean, it's nice, but It's not really going to shift it either way when it's compared against a unique weapon with unique effects that you cannot get anywhere else, not even at tallies. Okay, there are weapons that are plus against demons, but not as crazy powerful as that.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And also, I think I've already fought the toughest demon you fight so far. So that's basically it. Do I want a slightly bit more adventure tokens that would help me, give me a teeny bit of power that I don't need? But admittedly, the Demon Scourge gives me power I don't need. But, yeah, no, I'm going to refuse it. That plus 40 against demons is just too powerful. Politely refuses offer. Well, you're probably right to refuse me, he says, sighing. It's a wonderful piece, though. I hope you keep it well, Sir Crokington. May ask about it again sometime if you have it. Frimback calls for 2 flagons of ale, one of which he asks to be set down in front of you. When you've finished yours, you rise and bid farewell to the renowned adventurer. Now, I think Zoop sold off the Demon Scourge and then fought a super powerful demon, so maybe not a good choice. But Sir Crokington also has already fought that super powerful demon, so maybe. I think most people say no. The Demon Scourge is just so powerful and it's only 880s. That's not enough to upgrade your weapons or get one of Talaro's elixirs, even the cheapest ones. So it's a step along the way to making progress to getting a small upgrade. Yes, versus something that can make you much more powerful in a particular situation. Yeah, I mean, you could go either way, and I have, so. Well, argue about it on the Discord, perhaps. A fare ye well, Sir Crokington, he says, standing to meet you a shoulder cross. And mind that you stay out of my favourite stomping grounds, of course. A jest, Sir Crokington, a jest! With that, you take your leave of Frimback. Okay, let's seek to bring back. Alright, sit next to him. This ought to interest you, says Frimback, lowering his voice, and leaning across the table as you lower yourself to the seat. I may have found the location of Garthwin the Great's hidden lair. Now, Garthwin the Great has a lore book entry, so we shall read it. Garthwin the Great, a master elementalist from an age now relegated to the dusty pages of ancient histories, Garthwin has assumed a legendary status, not only because of his profound skill with elemental magic, but because it is believed he once possessed all 3 of the fabled dreadstones. Oh, poor guy. The later years of his life are shrouded in mystery, and there are few details of him to be found, even among the ancient histories. The location of his lair, a place where he long studied and perfected his mastery of the elemental arts, has remained a topic of great speculation, particularly among adventurers, who believe that one or more of the dreadstones may lie in wait for he or she who is fortunate enough and brave enough to find it. So he could have 0, 1, or 2 dreadstones. Probably not 2, because that would just finish things too quickly. It could be 0, but that would be anticlimactic. But if it is 0, it will give a clue to where to go to actually find one. I'm just narratively speaking, that has to happen. Because it would just be really disappointing if you go on a quest to find an item and it's just not there. If the game warned you, here are 3 places we think it might be, check them all out, and then actually probably what would happen, which is whichever one you search last would have it. Because then, of course, everyone gets to explore all the places. Because, if it was in one particular place, everyone would just go to the one that it is. Unless, well, you'd be tempted just to go to the one it is, and then there'd be these dungeons he made and no one goes there. That'd be annoying for the GM. Anyway, yeah. Probably 1 gemstone in this place. You're immediately intrigued by what he said, for the location of the legendary mage's hidden lair has long been a subject of rumour and speculation among the adventuring elite. It's quite a bit better than that, though, he says, casting a wary glance around the common room before continuing. I happen to know that in that place one might hope to find one of the rather famous dreadstones, you know. Like the one you've already found. A strange look suddenly passes over Frimback's face, but the master adventurer appears to make great effort to compose himself. I dare not play any sort of game with you, Sir Crokington, he says, sitting back in his chair. In fact, I'll have it be known that I wish you to be the one to investigate this lair, Garthwin's last abode. If there is a dreadstone to be found within, I can think of no one more capable to retrieve it. A tense silence follows his revelation as you attempt to discern his motives and contemplate what he has just related to you. Of course, he says, as if he's uncomfortable with the length of this silence. If you're not at all interested, I'd be happy to undertake this minimal endeavour myself. All right, what does divination say? Use of divination has succeeded. You immediately sense that Thrimback is desperate for you to explore the lair he's spoken of. You also sense he believes this endeavour will lead to the discovery of one of the dreadstones. And there's no other options, so I'm going to ask him to tell you the location of Garthwin's lair. Thrimbeck smiles and tells you that to find out the location of the lair, you need only travel to Talonus and meet a Confederate of his, a woman known only as Silver. I dare say I can't tell you how she earned such a name as that, he says, but she never seems at a loss for interesting new bits of information. Much like what she's trying to peddle now, the location of Garthwin's lair. You ask Thrimback where in Talonus you're supposed to find the woman known as Silver. He tells you to visit the Ironclaw weapon market. She hoards that old watchtower, most of the time, he says. When you find her, Sir Crokington, you'll need to give her this. Unless, of course, you have a firm desire to part with any of your own wealth to obtain the information. Frimback produces a small wooden cube, and then hands the curious object to you. The cube, no larger than a coin, is marked on all six sides by carvings that seem to depict various phases of the moon. Right, we now have a carved wooden cube, but it seems that we're not going to have it for very long. Each of the six sides of the coin-sized wooden cube is engraved what appears to be various phases of the moon. She'll find that to her liking, he says. It'll save you from having to part with anything of yours. You need not worry that she'll give you the correct location of the lair either. She knows better than to try anything of the kind with me, or someone like yourself. With that, you bid Frimback farewell and tell him you will find the woman known as Silver in Talonus, and then see if the information indeed leads to the long-lost lair of Garthwin the Great. Best of luck, Sir Crokington, he says, as you make ready to depart. I have a feeling that the next time we see each other, you'll be in possession of another dreadstone, and I better be so, because I don't want to make him wrong. You again bid the renowned adventurer farewell, then promptly make your way out of the Goblin Claw. Alright, I'm now out of the Goblin Claw, and I'm not returning until I have a dreadstone. So it's in Talonus. Talonus is in Central Telsa, and I am there. Because travel is very quick in this game, unlike, honestly, pretty much every other game. Where sometimes you can spend more time. Where you can spend more time just getting to the next air, getting to travelling, than you do actually, you know, doing things. And, okay, the first time you travel to a place, yes, that should be long, that should take a while. Because they want to show off all the stuff they've made, but after that, not so much. Okay, let's go to the Ironclaw Weapon Market. adventures for this location. Garthwin the Great. Okay, it's a formal adventure. Well, it's a formal adventure now. It started off as just a U-turn-up adventure, an informal one. But now it's formal. You get that a lot, where you start the adventure, meet up with someone, they explain something, and then there's a formal adventure. Which is, of course, a good way to make it so you don't, you know, forget about something. Especially, say, if you burst into several people who start you off on quests in a row. Which can happen. Garthwin the Great is this adventure's name. The long-lost lair for Garthwin the Great. A mage's host powers of elemental magic were largely considered to be beyond compare. Have long remained a mystery until now. But I wonder how Garthwin the Great compares to the mages in the Tower of Daggerspire. If they were to have an elemental jewel, which I assume where elementalists just both summon the mightiest elementals they can find and then have them do a kaiju fight. That's just the cool way to do it. That's how elementalists rank themselves. They have elemental kaiju fights. Presumably there's somewhere well out of the way where they do it. You know, if that's what they do. Anyway, let us begin. Embark on this adventure. And so begins Garthwin the Great. You arrive at the Ironclaw weapon market. It does not go unnoticed. The moment you set foot in the old city watchtower, you spot three street urchins watching you from behind a stack of barrels near the entry arch. You at first suspect the grubby-faced children in wacky clothing are thieves, perhaps sizing you up for a bit of trickery. However, when they quickly dart off and return a few moments later in the company of a young and beautiful raven-haired woman who addresses you by name, you realize at once you are in the presence of the woman you came here to meet. The woman known to Thrimback as Silver. "Get out of here," she snaps at the urchins loitering at her size. When they hesitate, she loosens a string that fastens a bulging coin purse to her belt and tosses the pouch to one of the children. The gangsters run off with their prize, and Silver smiles. "You know who I am," she says, "and I certainly know who you are. Let's go somewhere away from all this bustle." Vowing to remain on your guard, you nod your consent and follow the ravishing young woman out of the market and into a nearby tavern. "You could hardly believe everything Frimbach's told you about me," she says, as the two of you take up residence in the corner table furthest from the fire in the old hog alehouse. "If he's told you anything at all, he didn't really. She likes to keep things a bit mysterious, as you might have noticed. So, have you come prepared to deal for what it is I have to offer?" Before you can reply, a serving girl appears out of the crowd and places two flagons on the table. Cook, cook! You instinctively prepare to hand her two gold tokens. But Silver shakes her head as the girl turns and departs. Once again, disappearing to the throng of the patrons. "This is my place," he says. "Well, in a certain sense, anyway. Where is it?" Silver swiftly empties her tankard and then stares expectantly at you. You realise she's waiting for you to produce the wooden cube given to you by Thwimback. "Show her the wooden cube. I've no reason to keep it. It doesn't actually do anything as far as I know, and there's really no reason to have it so it actually ever does anything." You draw out the wooden cube from among your possessions and hold it up for Silver to see. She rolls up her eyes and frowns. It's not quite as I expected it to be, she says. That's another thing you'll learn if you deal with Thrimbach on any sort of regular basis. He has a penchant for exaggeration, particularly to suit his immediate purposes. Let me see the cube. Realizing you have no reason to outright distrust her, seeing it was Thrimbach himself who gave you the cube to give her, you politely comply and hand her the wooden cube. And it's gone. Silver examines the wooden cube and laughs. She places the curious object in one of her pockets and promptly raises her hand. The serving girl reappears at the edge of the table in moments and sets down two more flagons of the house ale. The raven-haired beauty raises a flagon, winks at you, and then proceeds to down its frothing contents with alarming speed and proficiency. She wipes her mouth with the back of her sleeve, unapologetically expels a hearty belch. I don't have anything in me to do that sound effect right now, and I don't have anything fizzy around to make me belch, so you're just going to have to imagine your own belches. And sighs. Well then, she sighs, squeezing out the words between long pronounced yawns. I suppose you'll want to hear my end of things. With that, the raven-haired beauty curtly tells you how to find the long-lost lair of Garthwin, detailing for you a rather desolate location in the forest west of town. As well, that's convenient. It's convenient that it's near where we already are. I mean, it could be anywhere in the kingdom, or even not in the kingdom at all, which would make it really difficult to get to, because... Well, okay, admittedly, this is a medieval kingdom, so they probably don't really have super formal borders with passport controls and custom checks and all that stuff. And it tends to be, and probably there's a pretty wide area between two kingdoms where people are like, yeah, what kingdom am I? I'm not quite sure. I mean, I don't really pay attention to all this stuff, so... Well, honestly, who do I pay my taxes to? Whoever's cheapest at the time. and if I can get away with it, none at all. And if they come and say, oh, I thought I was part of the other kingdom! Oh, sorry, okay, you can have your taxes now. I'm assuming because a proper border with all the bordery stuff, that takes a lot of bureaucracy to maintain. A sort of loose border of, around there you've got some lower tier nobles and you know, small armed forces just generally just keeping a watch, and if anything egregious happens, they can either send their own small forces to deal with it, or if it's a large thing, it's passed up either to the local thane, or if it's really bad or really complicated, it will get to the king. Yeah, of course they probably draw a line on the map, because everyone likes drawing lines on maps. Although, admittedly, since theodolites and that haven't been invented yet, the maps aren't that accurate. But good enough. Good enough to know, to say, so you point out on the map and tell the army to go there, that's where they go, because I mean, that's the... One of the main reasons you have maps is so you can tell the armies where to go. With that, the raven head. Beauty curtly tells you how to... Yeah, I've already read that. We part here today as friends, she says, as she rises from the table and bows. I should think that you and I might be of mutual assistance to one another from time to time. I hope you find what you're looking for in that place. So this is a... I'm not going to say this is a loose end. This is a plot hook. It's not... It's something we can use later. Maybe in an unrelated story. Or seemingly. That's the thing. If you're creating an interesting world, there's always going to be a... Ooh, maybe we could do something with this. Maybe we could do something with that. Maybe someone else could work on it. Maybe someone could write a fan fiction. Yeah, that's just what happens when you have a big, complicated, well-built world. You're going to have questions unanswered and potential storylines that aren't investigated. It's not a weakness of the narrative that they didn't explain absolutely everything about this. Everything that possibly can ever is, will, and will ever happen in a whole world, because worlds are big. Before you can say anything to her, she turns, slips off into the outhouse crowd, and is lost from sight. After taking a few moments to finish your ale, you stand and make your way out to the old hog, and then way out of the old hog, and then out of Talonus, following the precise directions Silver has given you. Directions you hope will lead you to the lair you seek. It looks like I'm going straight there. The trek into the forest west of Talonus, faithfully following the directions given to you by Silver, proves exceptionally difficult, as the thick woodland terrain presents countless hazards and several nearly impassable areas, causing you to backtrack more than once. Makes sense. If you have a tomb, you're not just gonna put it by the main road where anyone can go, ooh, be-doo-be-doo, I'm going to rob this tomb, be-doo-be-doo-be-doo-be-doo. Because you don't like that. It's annoying. You don't want your tomb to be robbed, or at least not for a while. I mean, presumably, after you've thoroughly moved on to whichever afterlife you go to, that probably doesn't matter that much, depending on theology. But you don't want your grave to be robbed really quickly, even though they often are, because it turns out that the people who build your tomb, they know where your tomb is, and they know how all the traps work. And you've probably not paid them enough. So they're like, alright. Oh, we weren't paid enough for this. Alright. Guess we're robbing the tomb. Oh, yeah. There's that trap. Oh, yeah. Just step right there. You press these buttons here. You say, hello. Gorbachev. Undead. And then they walk away. Or something like that. And then you can go, oh, the secret code to open this tomb, it's Skull Moon Moon Eye. And here's the stuff. Yoink! Yes. So always pay your tomb builders very, very well. Because otherwise, the only thing in your tomb is going to be your naked skeleton. Or you can just not be so fussy about all that. But people are. At last, as you pass into an area dominated by ancient hardwoods and towering tree-lined ridges, you find yourself at the nip of a narrow valley in which Silver indicated the lair resided. Making your way into the narrow vale proves most arduous, but after nearly 2 hours of slow, treacherous hiking, you find yourself at the spot she indicated, the long hidden location of Garthur and the Great's lair. You stand between two imposing tree-lined ridges, at the bottom of a narrow valley deep in the forest west of Talonus. At your feet is a dark opening in the earth, through which you can see a mossy set of stone steps descending into the impenetrable gloom. This is the spot you arrived at following directions given to you by Silver. Frimback's so-called confederate. According to Silver and Frimback, this is the infamous, long-lost lair of Garthwin the Great. It is within this shadowy lair that Frimback is convinced you will find one of the two remaining dreadstones. You think it might be safe to try and west here, should you need to? What happens if I try to west here? You move away from the dark opening and settle down in the midst of an overgrown thicket, where it's a lot easier for Sir Croakington to hide because she is very small. Usually she's very small. Sometimes she's not so small, but usually very small. Because it turns out that how big you are doesn't really affect how much damage you can do, because reasons. As you attempt to get some much needed rest. And you're fully restored standing points and Neville reserve, so you don't really have to worry about being running out of resources here. Which is handy because you will not leave until it's done. After a refreshing and uneventful bit of rest, you rise and prepare to set out on your way. Alright, we're pretty much at 55 minutes. You know what? If I hadn't run my mouth for so long and skipped white and didn't read things I've already read, we might have been able to do this whole thing in one hour, maybe a little bit extra. But I blabbered around a bit, so now we're at nearly an hour. So we're going to have to put off actually going into the tomb to the next episode. So, and until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.